This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, there he is. The man fresh off the wake, fresh off the funeral of a season. You know, the Vikings used to just light a ship and just send it off into the ocean, all that. Did they light up the entire stadium and just send it off into the ocean? Because, damn, that was ugly today. That was ugly, Manny.
Yeah, not the way to end the season, that's for sure. I thought it would be a difficult game for Miami to win, all things considered. You know, you're playing with an injured Tyler Van Dyke, who you knew was trying to tough it out. Knowing Pittsburgh had won 3 games in a row and was playing really, really well. But, you know, I didn't expect 42-16 or 35-3 in the third quarter. I thought they would have shown up and played a little bit better than that.
What was the story with Tyler Van Dyke?
Well, I told you guys last Saturday, right, that he was going to be the starter, and you guys were like, oh, he knows something. Well, I knew that he was going to give it a shot. You know, the hit that he took there on the eighth pass, the one that was intercepted, if you go back and you look at that replay closely, the linebacker who hit him on the play for Pitt kind of dug his arm into the dirt.
Yeah.
And we know this kind of stuff happens in football, right? You know what, you're trying to knock the other guy out, trying to keep him out of the game, and, well, it worked. Took Tyler right out of the game, and unfortunate for him. But again, you know, it looks like one of those injuries that the only way it heals is with either surgery or with time, and he played hurt, and that's what happens when you play hurt.
Manny, do you have any insight as to what happened after the game with Cam Kitchens and kind of, was it who tweeted it, Sean? It was Tim Reynolds saying that you're either all in or all out, and he threw the gauntlet. Did Mario speak on that? Did you hear about anything that happened with Cam Kitchens?
Yeah, Mario spoke on that just a few minutes ago, said that Cam Kitchens, you know, told his teammates, gathered him together, told them he loved them, and was like, look, you're either with us or you're out of here. You know, get on the first train out. And so he's taking leadership of that locker room. Good sign, right, that you at least have a couple of young guys that want to take leadership of that locker room. I think that's an Ed Reed influence on him, to be honest with you. That's why you have some of those guys around, right? That's why you keep them in the building. I think Cam kind of took a page out of that and said, look, yeah, the season sucked. It was horrible. Not what we wanted, but I'm still here. I'm going to be here. Come play with me and let's turn this thing around. So that's a good sign, right?
Good sign.
Yeah.
Good sign. Nobody expected Miami not to make a bowl. There was a lot of things they expected this year, a lot of things that they didn't expect this year. I don't think that not making a bowl game was one of them. How much do you think that having to unlearn bad habits from previous regimes had to do with the so many setbacks this season? Because I'm looking at Miami's 5-7 record, and I'm looking at the two of the closest losses that they had. UNC was 3 points, and I think the other one was, I forget, there was another, A&M, okay? You're looking at maybe 2-4 plays where they could have been maybe wins, right? So going into next season, what is it that you're expecting to see different? Games that they lost close that should probably win, and how much of that bad influence from past regimes figured into this 5-7 record?
Well, Mike, I mean, those are two different subjects, so I'll attack them differently. Number one, the bad habits and the coaching. Look, when you go through as many coordinators and assistant coaches as these kids have in the last 5 years, just think about it, right? I mean, 5 years ago, I was in the freezing cold at the Pinstripe Bowl. 2 days before Mark Richt announced, you know, this was it. He was stepping down because of health reasons. Well, Manny Diaz takes over. You know, the offense, you know, they go through that horrible 6-7 season, getting shut out at the end, losing to FIU, losing to Duke and Louisiana Tech. He changes the coaching staff, brings in Rhett Lashley. You go through a whole new system. I mean, those kind of things just compound. The more change you have, the harder it is to develop any sort of consistency. I think there were a lot of times this year that we saw these players look lost, right? Especially on defense, sometimes on offense, right? How many times did they get delay of game penalties or they had to call timeout to avoid those delay of game penalties because there was confusion? Those things are a product of all the change that you have. And so to me, that's one issue. And then as far as the records, you know, people are going to sit here and say, oh, Manny Diaz was a better coach. They went 7-5 last year. Like, the difference to me, Mike, being around this sport for 25 years, and I answered this in one of my mailbag questions this week, because people were like, man, these North Carolina teams in the ACC, right? They're all falling flat on their face. North Carolina loses two games to end the season. Duke stumbles towards the end. Wake Forest won their last game, but they struggled. And I'm thinking to myself, like, do you guys not realize that there's not much in the way of separation and mediocrity? Nope. That there's really only a handful of teams every single year that should be expected to win 10, 11, 12 games? Miami's nowhere near that group, right? I mean, they had one 10-win season since joining the ACC. They've been mediocre for over a decade now. And so you can lose to Middle Tennessee State one year, and then another year you can go on the road and beat Pittsburgh the year they win the ACC title.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Why? Because you're one hot quarterback or one injury or two injuries away from being a completely different team. And that, why is that? Because you don't have the championship depth of the rest of the teams that do win.
And by the way, the only difference between 5 wins this year and 7 wins last year was Tyler Van Dyke being injured. That's
correct.
It. If Tyler Van Dyke's healthy, you probably win an extra 2 games.
I asked you that on purpose, man. Thank you so much. Asked that on purpose. Thank you.
No, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Now, I will say this, as crappy as this season's been, somehow or another, their class has held strong. So that's good.
Yeah, and really that's all that matters here, because we knew when he took over this program that it was a matter of bringing in depth and talent and upgrading the level of skill that you had. Let's go back to the preseason for a second. Wide receiver, huge concern going into the year.
Big time.
And it remained that pretty much all the way through. You had Colby Young show you some flashes, but there's nobody on this roster that you say going into next year, man, they look awesome at receiver. This guy's going to be a stud. Linebacker, Wesley Bissaith finally got into the starting lineup the last 3 games of the season. But you still need more guys at that linebacker position. You still are not tackling the way you're supposed to.
No.
There's a lot of areas in terms of personnel that need to be upgraded. And I firmly believe, and I told you guys this, I think, last week right after the Clemson game, I was told there's going to be at least 24 transfers, guys that head out of this program that have eligibility left. And so far, we've had, I think a quarter of that,
right?
6 or 7 guys formally announced that. It's going to go into the 20s. And I think between the recruiting class and the transfers, there will be 35 to 40 new faces on this roster come spring football.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's kind of what
purging.
And by the way, that's what Mario needs.
Yes.
And I would imagine that the transfer portal is also going to be huge here, because he can't have a year next year where everybody's young. So, Manny, he's going to have to find some veterans, guys that have a year or two left of eligibility that want to transfer in. And who knows, maybe Mr. Ruiz would accommodate that kind of stuff to help a couple of those guys in, because you've got to have a more successful season next year in the win column, right, Manny? You can't go and have a total rebuild disaster where it's a whole bunch of young guys and we're like, oh, no, it's a transition year and you win another 5 games. I don't think they can afford to do that.
No, I think at a minimum, you probably need to win 8 to 9 games last year to show any real level of progress. And I think more than anything, you have to show that you're building something, that players are getting better, because that's going to be the number one criticism going into the offseason is, who on this roster got better? There's a handful of guys you can point to, right? You can point to Daryl Jackson on the defensive line, a kid who played a little bit at Maryland, came in, took a big step as a second-year player. You can point to Cam Kitchens, right? He took a step forward. You can point to guys like Anes Cooper, who started a bunch of games for you down the stretch as a true freshman and showed you some promise. But there's a lot of other areas where you're still kind of like, okay, where did they get better? So I think that's going to be the number one issue for this team is showing the level of improvement. And the one thing I would warn all fans is the transfer portal does work each way, okay? And there are some good players on this team that are going to have a lot of money thrown at them. I'm not talking about John Reese. I'm talking about other programs like the University of Florida who want to take some of these guys and bring them up and can tell them, well, listen, come play in the SEC, a real conference, not that ACC where you guys, you know, the conference champion has no shot of making the playoff. You come play in our conference, and you'll have NFL scouts. You'll have a lot of people. So those things are going to sell, and those are some of the hurdles that Mario has to compete against.
The last thing I have for you, Manny, in this tragic 2022 season, year one of Mario Cristobal. It's not a question, more of a statement. And then you could, you know, respond to it as you see fit. But everybody likes to talk about the talent that Miami does not have, and I disagree with that a lot, because a lot of these guys were recruited by the heavyweights of college football, right? The difference between now and then, from when they were recruited highly at a high school, is that those highly recruited players are still high school talents. They're not developed 2 and 3 years down the road as these other teams right. have developed their high school talent. So they're in 2-3 years better in college football wise, college football playing wise, whether, as you know, these recruits that Miami has, they're still playing at a high school level. And I think that's the main difference. They weren't developed. They will with this staff. And this is year one, baby.
Well, I agree in that regard. I think, you know, talent development has to be paramount here moving forward. And the other thing I would say is Miami has to start recruiting bigger guys. They need more physical specimens on this team.
Yes.
You see them line up week to week to week, and they are the smaller team. And you can sit here and say weight room. No, I disagree with you. A lot of this is, you know, physically you have to get bigger players. And I think that's what you're going to see Mario go out and do. Get the 6'6", 350-pound offensive lineman. Get the 6'3", 320-pound defensive tackles and defensive ends. Because physically they're getting their asses whipped a lot of areas. And I think that is a huge issue for this program. And with all due respect to South Florida, okay, I've worked in this city for a long time covering high school recruiting. There are too many guys that are overhyped and overranked coming out of South Florida. And Mario has to go out and recruit nationally. The kids in our area, God bless them. Some of them are really talented, do a great job winning high school championships. Some of these guys are 5'9", 5'10", 175 pounds. They're fast. They win on athletic. When you get to college, you got to be a big mother effort. And you got to be able to move bodies physically. South Florida doesn't have a lot of those big body guys.
No.
And so, to me, you have to go out to other areas and find them. And I would say football IQ. Oh, that is a huge factor.
Oh, my God, yes. There were a lot of stupid plays today that were like,
so many mental breakdowns. So Mario's going to do more national recruiting, and I think that is ultimately the solution to all of this.
Yeah, James Williams' play, that was pure frustrations right there. That was like, dude, you can't do that. You can't you know, play the game that way. All right, what are you working on, Manny, over at The Athletic, so folks can check you out, my friend?
Well, we'll have plenty of reaction from this one and my thoughts, and then a whole lot of transfer portal and recruiting coverage in the weeks to come, because that'll be dominating the headlines as well as any coaching changes.
Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe like I do, like Mike does, like Sean does. Subscribe to The Athletic so you can get all the scoopage all over the country, all kinds of leagues. Manny, as always, appreciate you, my brother. We'll catch up throughout the week.
All right, brother. Take care, guys.
You got it. There you go. The great Manny Navarro. That is our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes post-game report.